reading for you some verses from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. There arose a division again among the Jews because of his words. And many of them said, "He hath a demon and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the sayings of one possessed with a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And it was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's porch. The Jews therefore came round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou hold us in suspense? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who hath given them unto me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Now we'll bow our heads and unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee that thy word speaks to our hearts, that it brings promises of great hope. It breathes comfort and a sense of security into our souls. It satisfies our minds. It explains life with all of its mysteries and uncertainties. It causes us to face the future without fear and without misgivings. And we pray now, dear Father, that thy Holy Spirit shall bless this period of worship to the hearts of all who are sharing it with us. May this hour bless our hearts. May we lay hold upon the truth afresh and make it our very own. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. greet you this morning, my friends, from the studio of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. With me are Professor Winters, the director of our choir, and Professor Kenneth Poole at the organ. The choir to which you have just listened is a choir of the Church School of Music. We have about 40 young men and young women here this morning who are dedicating themselves to the master's service in the field of music. I trust that you will mark this hour on your calendar, that you may be a habitual worshiper with us on the second Sunday morning of every month. The passage of scripture I read for you a moment ago has a very message that I want to bring to your hearts this morning. Oftentimes we read a great passage of scripture like this and then set it aside to make way for the preacher's message. My message this morning is a message of these verses. If I can help you to see and understand what the master wanted his contemporaries to understand, then this hour shall be one of great profit to our hearts and to our lives forever. There are two pictures that I want you to get in your minds in order that you might see the historical and the physical setting of this whole scene. Our master was in the city of Jerusalem. He was walking in Solomon's porch, an inside cloister, perhaps to protect himself from the winter weather. We are told definitely that it was winter. And we know that this Feast of the Dedication was an annual occasion in the life of the Jews. Back in 168 BC, there was a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes who profaned the temple. Following this, Judas Maccabeus rededicated or reconsecrated the temple, and thereafter the Jews observed this eight-day celebration at the middle of December of each year. Our Lord was in attendance upon this Feast of the Dedication. I see him now as he was strolling back and forth in Solomon's porch, perhaps in deep meditation. Hold that picture in your mind as I show you another picture. Nearby was a group of Jews greatly confused. They were discussing Jesus with one another. They were reflecting the great confusion of that day in regard to this great person who had come into their midst, whom some were accepting as a Messiah and others were rejecting as an imposter. And some of them were saying, this man is mad. He has a demon. Why should we listen to him? Then, in response, others of the group said, perhaps he is mad. Maybe they said, we'd love to accept the statement that he's mad. But one thing bothers us. How can a man who can open the eyes of the blind be possessed of a demon or be a madman?